Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I think we are having the little kids' church, children's church, if you want to be dismissed at this time. There are lots of people involved in the, or played a part in the birth of Jesus Christ. When you read through the stories in the scripture, you find lots of folks involved. This particular week, this last week in particular, my mind has been on Joseph, and so I wanted to talk a little bit about him today. He was chosen by God to be the earthly father of Jesus Christ, and I know that wasn't an easy job to fill. But he did it, and so I want to talk a little bit about him today. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 18 and finish the chapter. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want you to look again at the words in verse 19. It says, Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The Bible identifies Joseph as a just man. That simply means he was a Christian. If we were writing this today in the lingo that we have, we would say Joseph was a Christian. That's why God chose Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus, because Joseph was a Christian. I got to thinking about that. You know, there's a lot of misunderstanding, I guess that's the word, about what a Christian really is today. The world's view of a Christian is certainly skewed as far as the Bible is concerned. And I'm afraid that sometimes even among the church, in the church, there's a little bit of an odd opinion, I think, about what a Christian is. So I wanted to talk just a little bit briefly about that this morning as we talk about Joseph. Because Joseph was a Christian, that simply meant that he obeyed the Word of God. Because Christians obey the Word of God. You want a definition of a Christian? There it is. A Christian is somebody who obeys the Word of God. We know that Joseph prayed because in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 the Bible says, pray without ceasing. We know that Joseph read and studied the Word of God because in 2 Timothy 2:15 the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Christians pray and Christians read and study the Bible. We know that Joseph faithfully attended worship. In his case, he went to the synagogue. We know that because Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We know that Joseph was a witness for God to other people, because in Mark 16:15, the Bible says, And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We know that Joseph loved others, because in 1 John 3:11, the Bible says, For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that ye should love one another. We know that Joseph forgave others, because in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, the Bible says, Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. We know that Joseph paid tithes, because in Proverbs 3:9, the Bible says, Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. I'm not trying to say that Joseph was perfect. He wasn't perfect. But he did all that he could to obey the word of God, the commands of God. I don't mean to imply today that Christians are perfect. I certainly am not perfect. I don't know any Christian. I don't know any person who is perfect. But Christians make every effort to obey the word of God, all of it. I have seen, you know, this is the time of the year where they have all the little Christmas movies on television. And I confess, I'm a Christmas movie junkie, I guess. But it's odd to me. They have such a strange opinion of what Christianity is. Christians do all the things that we've talked about and so many more. Christians read their Bible. Christians pray. Christians come to church. Christians do love everybody. But Christians do not tolerate sin. Christians should be, at least, forgiving of every person. Christians do pay their tithes. Those are all things that the Bible tells us to do. And there's so many more that the Bible tells us. And Christians make the effort to obey the Scripture. We're not perfect. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we commit sin. When that happens, we should immediately confess that sin and ask God to forgive us, and He will. But Christians make the effort to obey the Word of God. We know that Joseph did that because Joseph was a just man. He was a Christian. And so with that in mind, I begin to think about Joseph and what happened to him on that first Christmas. And I want to mention just two or three things. First of all, I want to talk about his disappointment. Look at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph and Mary were espoused to one another. Now, that simply means, literally, it means they were legally married. But they did not live together, not yet, and they had not consummated their marriage yet. So when Mary came to Joseph and she said, listen, Joseph, I'm going to have a baby. Joseph immediately assumed, like any person would, that Mary had been unfaithful to him and disobedient to God. And so I think he must have been disappointed, don't you? I'm sure there were a lot of emotions that he experienced. I couldn't imagine what they might be. I'm sure he was probably angry to some degree. But I think somewhere in there, Joseph was disappointed. You say, oh, Pastor, Christians are never disappointed. They always get what they want. Well, I got news for you. That's not the way it works. Some people believe that about Christianity. Oh, just get saved and everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. Life is just a bowl of cherries. You get what you want. Listen, if that was the truth, everybody in the world would be a Christian. Right? And everybody would still be living because nobody wants to die. I think Joseph was disappointed for himself. I think he looked forward to marrying Mary. I think he looked forward to starting his life with her, to them starting their own family. I think he anticipated that, and I think he was disappointed. I think he may have been even a little bit disappointed with God. That's sort of a dangerous territory to get into, isn't it? But I think maybe he was. He might have thought, now, God, did you ever think this way, Christian? God, here I am doing everything I can to serve you. I'm trying to obey your word, man. I'm faithful. And how could you let this happen to me? Don't we think that sometimes as Christians? When something happens we don't like, well, God, how could you let that happen to me? Did you know that the only time we're ever truly disappointed with God is when we expect God to do something that He didn't promise He would do? I think Joseph was very disappointed with Mary. How in the world could she do this to me? How could she be unfaithful to me? Listen, Mary told Joseph, listen, the child is conceived with the Holy Spirit, but he didn't believe her. Not at first. The Bible says that he was thinking about divorcing her because he didn't believe her story. How could you do this to me, Mary? Here we are, espoused. We're legally married. You've committed adultery. How could you do this? Maybe in his private moments, he thought, oh my goodness, and I thought she was a Christian. Have you ever thought that about somebody else? I've heard people tell me that. I've had occasion when someone will come to me with a little bit of a complaint or a problem or a disagreement, and it'll be with or about somebody else, and they'll say, well, I thought they were a Christian. I know that there are people who think that Christians get everything they want in life. I've even had somebody tell me one time years ago after I started pastoring that, oh, well, you preachers just get everything they want. And I started to say, well, man, I don't know where that, I'd like to talk to that preacher. You know, of course, don't you? There's a whole group of Christian people who teach the name it and claim it, the prosperity gospel, just everything. I've often wondered how they justify that with the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the sinless, perfect Son of God came and was born into poverty. You know the story when the day came for Joseph and Mary to bring Jesus to the synagogue to have him circumcised and to offer the sacrifice that was required by Jewish law of every Jewish person. The Bible says that they offered the turtle doves. And the turtle dove was the offering of the poor. There were other offerings that were prescribed by law. But if you couldn't afford those, we got all the way down to the list to the turtle doves. Jesus was born into poverty. Lived in obscurity. Laid in a feed trough. Probably in a cave when he was born. I mean, that's not prosperity. That's not name it and claim it. We don't hear anything about Jesus until he was 12 years old. And we only hear one thing about him then. And then he's 30 before we hear anything else about him. He lived in obscurity. All throughout his adult life, the 3 years that he was preaching, that he was ministering, the Bible never records that he had a home to live in, a camel or a donkey to ride on. As a matter of fact, the only thing the Bible records about Jesus is that when it came time to pay taxes, he had to send Peter out to fish to get the coin out of the fish's mouth. I don't think Jesus ever had a next meal in the bank. I don't think Jesus ever had a bank, a checking account. He didn't have a retirement account, a savings account. Jesus was poor. And then, of course, we come to the end of the life of Christ where he is brutalized and mocked and beaten and scourged and crucified. And yet we say, oh, just get saved and everything will be all right. You'll just have everything that you want. Our Savior's life was not easy. Our Savior's life was not a bowl of cherries. And your life as a Christian will not be a bowl of cherries. Now, I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want you to think that it's worse to be a Christian than it is to be unsaved. Because do you know anybody whose life is a bowl of cherries? Life is hard. Life is difficult. There is suffering for the saved and for the unsaved. For the saved, there's a Savior, there's a friend, there's personal peace, there's joy even when your dad's in the hospital. And there's eternal life in heaven.
Amen.
But have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever been disappointed by somebody that you love? I think we probably all could say yes. Have you ever been disappointed by a brother or sister in Christ? Maybe if you're not a Christian, have you ever been disappointed by somebody who said they were a Christian? I think we probably all can relate to Joseph, at least in some measure. He was disappointed, faithful, serving God. But in maybe one of the greatest moments of his life, he was disappointed. The next thing I want us to notice is his directive. Look at verse 20. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. While Joseph was considering what to do about Mary and this unwed pregnancy that she was involved in. And by the way, while he was considering a quiet, private divorce, God sent an angel in a dream. And he said, listen, Joseph, everything she told you is the truth. She's still a virgin. The baby is conceived of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go ahead and marry her. I want you to finish the marriage process. I want you to take her to be your wife. Listen, don't you think that was hard? I really do. I think about Joseph, and God asked him to believe the unbelievable. You realize that up to this point in history, there had never been a woman who gave birth who was a virgin. There had never been a miraculous conception by the Holy Ghost to this point in history. And you realize that when we come to where we are today, there's never been another one. Jesus is the only one. It was unbelievable. I know that because Joseph didn't believe it when he first heard it. And yet God came to him and said, listen, I want you to believe this, Joseph. It's the truth. How about we take it just a little bit step further? Suppose that Joseph could believe the unbelievable. Nobody else is going to believe it. Joseph didn't. Elizabeth and Zechariah, they would probably believe it because of the birth of their son, John the Baptist. Mary believed it because she was conceived of the Holy Ghost, but nobody else would. And then there's the fact that Joseph and Mary are going to go around telling people, hey, this baby, the father of this baby is God. I mean, come on, who's going to believe that? Life is going to be difficult. Life is going to be a problem if Joseph obeys the directive of God. He and Mary are going to be considered promiscuous. Now, in our day, in our society, that might not be such a big deal, at least for most people. But I got to tell you, in society at that time, that was a big deal. That was a great disgrace. Joseph and Mary are probably going to be outcasts. They're probably going to be shunned by their friends. Those people who were their friends are probably not going to be their friends. There aren't going to be any invitations to parties. There aren't going to be any sleepovers for Jesus. Joseph and Mary are probably not going to be invited to participate in any of the services at the synagogue because they were promiscuous. They blamed it on God, and they will not repent. They're sticking to their story. Life is going to be hard for Joseph. This is going to change his life for the rest of his life, this directive that he got from God. And most people, even Christian people, are going to think he's just a little bit crazy. I got to thinking about that just a little bit. Probably you probably have not received a message from an angel. You may have, I don't know. But I know certainly that God has spoken to you because God speaks to His children. He speaks to us through His Word. As a matter of fact, God speaks to those who are not His children through His Word and through nature. Certainly God speaks to every Christian with the Holy Spirit who indwells us. He speaks to us, and sometimes the things that He tells us are unbelievable, aren't they? God said in His Word, God said that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You realize that nobody had ever done that before? Oh, you say, well now, Pastor, wait a minute, what about Lazarus? Lazarus didn't raise from the dead. Lazarus was raised. Somebody brought Lazarus back. Jesus did it all on His own. Nobody had ever done that before. Nobody's done it since. And yet God asked us as His children, as Christians, He asked us to believe that. It seems unbelievable. But we are supposed to believe it. You know what? Sometimes you tell folks that are unsaved, well, I believe in a Savior who came, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect and sinless life, was crucified on the cross of Calvary, dead, buried for 3 days, and rose again. They're going to think, man, you are crazy. Right? They're just going to kind of roll your eyes at you. There goes the social life. Sometimes even those who say they are Christians hear the message that we get from the Lord and they think, whoa, I don't know. He's a little far out there for my taste. Sometimes the thing that God speaks to us about is life-changing for the rest of our lives. The things that God wants us to do will change forever our lives. And I got to tell you, the directive sometimes is difficult. I think we can relate to Joseph in that capacity. God has a work for every Christian. God will tell you what that is, and God will expect you to do it. And so maybe we can relate to Joseph in that capacity, in that we've received a message from God, and it's a hard message to believe, and it's a hard message to obey. So the question is, what are we going to do? Well, that brings us to Joseph's decision in verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. We read that little verse, part of the Christmas story. Sometimes maybe we might not even pay too much attention to it, but that's a big verse. When the dream was over, when Joseph woke up, he obeyed God. Not a week or two later, he didn't mull it over for a while. Not a month or so. Not 6 or 7 months into Mary's pregnancy. Not right before Jesus was born. When he woke up, he went and did as the angel of the Lord had told him to do. I would like to tell you that from that moment on, Joseph's life was easy. But it wasn't. Joseph and Mary, I'm sure, had to endure the scorn of other people. I am sure that most people thought they were either crazy or terrible sinners who were blaming their sin on God. Who would ever believe that the Holy Spirit would conceive a child in the womb of Mary and she could still be a virgin? It's just not possible. I'm sure they thought they were crazy. I'm sure they had to endure being an outcast and all those things. The Bible tells us that Joseph had to pick up and move his family at least twice. You remember that soon after Jesus was born, sometime in the first 2 years of Jesus' life, you remember that Herod tried to kill Jesus. And so God again spoke to Joseph, and he warned him. He said, "You need to leave." So Joseph packed up his stuff, whatever he had, and he took his family and they fled to Egypt. So he had to start all over again in a foreign land. When King Herod died again, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph again and spoke to him again and said, "Bud, it's time to pack up and move again." And they came back to Nazareth. His life was disrupted repeatedly, over and over. Joseph was chosen by God to be the earthly father of the Son of God. Don't you think that was challenging? I mean, I think he probably felt like, boy, God's watching over my shoulder every second of every day. This is his son. What if I make a mistake? We hear about Joseph when Jesus was 12 years old, and we never hear about Joseph again. Sometime between the age of 12 for Jesus and the age of 30 for Jesus, Joseph died. His life was not easy. His life was difficult. His life was one of poverty. But I also want you to know that Joseph was greatly blessed of God. Amen. I know that because God always blesses his faithful and obedient people. Always. Yes, it was a challenge to be the Son of God, but oh my, what a privilege to be the earthly father of the Son of God. Of all the men in the world, God chose Joseph. What a privilege, what an honor. Right now, at this minute, today, as I speak and as you listen, Joseph is in heaven, rejoicing with Jesus, celebrating, enjoying all the peace and the bliss and the good things that heaven has to offer. He's been there for a long time. He's going to be there for the rest of eternity. God blessed Joseph because Joseph was faithful. Joseph was obedient. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, God is dealing with your heart. I know that because God promised that He would. You've heard the message of God. In the singing, in the skits and the things that the kids have done. You heard about Jesus Christ and His offer to forgive you of your sins. And I know the Holy Spirit is present. And I know He's convicting you of your sins. And I know He's asking you to confess your sins and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. The question is, what are you going to do? What will be your decision? If you're here today and you're a Christian, I know that God is speaking or has spoken to you sometime about some work in His service, because God has a work for every Christian in His service. In the kingdom of God, there's something for you to do. The question is, are you doing it? Or will you do it? There will be disappointments in life, absolutely, for everyone, saved and unsaved. But everyone, saved and unsaved, receives a directive from God. The first directive from God is, confess your sins, accept me as your Savior, and serve me as your Lord. And then the directives get a little more specific. This is what I want you to do. The only question is, what will our decision be? Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, if you would come to the piano and play just a song of invitation. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes, be as quiet as you and still as you can. Just for a minute, we won't take long. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, wouldn't you like to be saved? Jesus will forgive your sins. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you eternal life in heaven. And He'll give you peace and joy right now. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, are you doing what God has told you He wants you to do? If you'll say yes, saved or unsaved, if you'll say yes to Jesus, He will greatly bless you. You come while Shara plays. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. I know sometimes it's a little embarrassing to come out in front of everybody and come to the altar. And I don't want you to let that stop you from obeying Jesus, whether it's for salvation, whether it's to confess your sins and receive salvation, or whether it's for some service. I don't want embarrassment to stop you from doing that. So right where you stand, if you're a Christian here this morning and God's dealing with you about some work and you're not doing it, would you just simply right now just say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it my best shot. I know You want me to do it, and I'm going to start today doing what You want me to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, but you're ready to receive Christ as your Savior. Would you pray this prayer with me very quickly, quietly? Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner, and I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins, and I receive You as my Savior. If you prayed either of those prayers, would you slip your hand up as a testimony? I won't call your name or embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Quickly this morning. Father, I thank You for Your blessings, for Your goodness, for Your grace, for the gift of Jesus Christ. I thank You for these young people this morning, Lord, who have given us Your word. I thank You for these who have raised their hands, that You would help them and all of us, Father, to be obedient and faithful to You and to enjoy Your blessings. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention. We do have, I'm going to ask the deacons if they would to kind of slip out here. We do have some Christmas treats for everybody. Make sure that you get a little Christmas sack before you leave this morning. And I also have one more thing. Don't start leaving yet. I kind of like saying that. I think we mentioned last week, Rachel Brown is a member of our church, and she graduated with her master's degree last Sunday. We're all awful proud of her, and there is a reception for her today at 2 o'clock in the fellowship hall, and you are invited to come and pat her on the back and tell her congratulations. So please remember that this afternoon. Sharon, would you dismiss us, please?